Have you ever felt smothered at work? Like your every move is being watched. Is your manager constantly looking over your shoulder, questioning what you're doing, and you even start questioning your own abilities? How long will you tolerate it before you actually take control of your career? In today's episode, we're going to discover the way forward. I must warn you though, this decision right here, Cat Williams, this decision you're about to make will be hard, but it's definitely necessary. Point number one, decide whether to stay or leave. Again, decide whether to stay or leave, excuse me. Continuous micromanagement can negatively impact your morale, your productivity, matter of fact, your even your career trajectory. If this situation of micromanagement continues to exist, despite your effort, it may be necessary to evaluate your long-term goals, whether the role aligns with them. Family, one of the things, I'm going to tell a short story here and real short. One of the things I learned about when I make a decision to leave an organization is that once I've made that decision, there is no turn back. There is no, if they come in and offer me more money or they potentially make a decision to move me to another department. If I've made the decision to leave, that means I'm already in the process of looking for an opportunity. So when I get ready to put my notice in, I'm leaving, because I've realized that if you don't do that, what will tend to happen, which a lot of professionals sometimes we forget, is that when, if they have to make adjustments, whether they have to cut resources, you're probably going to be on that list because they're thinking, hey, this person left before, they might leave again. I'm not saying all organizations operate like that. And I know some very ethical organizations that don't operate like that. However, my goal is to inform you that it is a potential that could happen to you. So to protect yourself, here's my actionable tip. Reflect on your professional values as well as those priorities. Again, once you make that decision has been made either to stay or go, if you decide to stay, you need to know what you're staying for. Set a timeline on how long are you willing to stay in that particular position. If you decide to go, then go. Do not look back. This family, do not look back, because regardless of how you may think, you know what, maybe because I showed them I was willing to leave, that maybe they'll start taking me serious. That's not going to work. It may work, but it's like anything. There's no point of putting a Band-Aid on something when it may need stitches. Ooh, I think I said something. What I'm saying there, family, is that a lot of times we'll put a Band-Aid on something that needs more attention than just putting on a Band-Aid. And so, in other words, what we need to do is once a decision is made to stay or leave, you need to set timelines for both. When, if you say I'm leaving, I need to set a timeline of when my goal to leave the organization. If I'm staying, I'm going to make a decision. If it's 6 months, 3 months, or a month, to say, okay, I'm going to give it another month. If things are the way they are, then I know what my next move is. Point number two, find a support system. You already know I'm about to do a shameless plug. I'm going to sell you something right now. The Magnetic Project Management Community is exactly meant for this. In January, we will be going live. You want to be part of it. You trust me, this is something that's going to be, I know everyone says it's going to be different than but no, it really is, because this is about you. This is not about ED. This is about you, family. So going back to finding a support system, being micromanaged can be isolating. I know when I got, the first time I experienced micromanagement, I felt so isolated because I was like, why am I even here? You're telling me what to say. You're telling me what to do. You're correcting my emails. And I'm like, if you were going to do that, why did you even bring me on? Am I just the face and you just trying to work? You're trying to be the puppet master? I'm being honest with you, family. A lot of times you don't understand. And it wasn't until I got a great support system, shout out to Phil, Byron, some of these people, till I got that in place, it allowed me to see it from a different lens. And when I seen it from a different lens, that would allow me to make a good decision. See, a mentor is key, family. I continue to say it in a majority of my episodes because I want you to know you're not in this alone. So connecting with peers or mentors provide perspective, and most of all, they provide emotional support to navigate the situation because they've been there. I've been through so many different micromanagers that I've been there. I could guide you, I could coach you, I could tell you what to do. And this is very simple, but it's hard to take action because you may like the organization, you may even like the people you work with, but you just, it's just that manager situation. Here's my actionable tips. Share your challenges with a trusted colleague or mentor and ask for consultation and advice. Next one, their insight may provide new strategies for handling the situation. Point number three, identify if this is a temporary phase of micromanagement. Some managers micromanage during high pressure situations or transitions. I will admit that too. See, a lot of times, sometimes we can get so caught up, and this is why I said it's important to find a support system, because this is one of the things one of my mentors pointed out to me when they said, hey, this manager may be under a lot of pressure to deliver this project. So they want to know everything about the project compared to before, where maybe you may have been able to say, when during your one-on-one or during your project status updates, that you were able to articulate what is actually or where the project is, but they may be under pressure to deliver. And also, there may have been people that were in your role previously that left, and so they don't want to get left behind as far as having to pick up the slack because if you decide to leave. But what they don't understand, the manager don't understand, is that they're going to be right back where they are if they continue to micromanage you. But you just need to understand, is this a short-term issue that they're trying to help you and understand and make sure you have a safe pathway, because you may be new to the organization. Now, if you've been there for longer than, I say, 3 to 6 months, then yeah, this is a bigger problem. But a majority of the time, you want your manager there because things that you may catch, you may be able to talk to them and say, why is this situation the way it is? Is there anything we can do about it? But here's my actionable tip. Ask directly, is the additional oversight a temporary measure due to project importance? And the next question I would ask is, how can I support you during this time? You see how powerful those questions are? Because now I'm getting to the root. I'm not getting into the surface or the band-aid layer, as I call it. I'm asking, is the additional oversight a temporary measure due to project importance? And also, how can I support you during this time? Point number four, this is where a lot of people miss it. Now, sometimes you can't control this, meaning, let's say you're working in an organization, they hire on a manager, and now he or she is your manager. I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking of if you're looking for a job opportunity, you're going through the interview process, which brings me to number four, interviewing properly. See, in interviews, we sometimes fail to ask the right questions. One, because we may want the opportunity and we don't really want to ruffle any feathers or do anything wrong, but this is the time you need to ask your questions. When they ask you, hey, do you have any questions for me? Here's my two actionable tips. And these are the questions I actually used in interviews and I would use in interviews. This is one of the questions. If I were to talk to your direct reports, what type of leadership style would they say you lead with? Again, what type of leadership style would they say you lead with? So this question, reason why I'm asking this question, I want to see if they're going to be transparent with me and see how they respond. If they respond, yeah, my direct reports will say that I take more of a collaborative approach of solving problems or in working together. Okay, hey, I like you already. If they say how I lead is, you know, I like to be part of all the calls. I need to be part of just everything. And you're like, this looks like it's going to be some micromanagement. And they want to. And so that question is so important, family, because when you are in that interview, this is your opportunity, because what you don't want to happen is to get into that organization and now things that you didn't ask in the interview, now you're shocked and surprised when you're getting micromanaged. Now, I will give you my caveat. Just because you are interviewing, they're also interviewing for you to work for them. So if they're doing that, then they may not be so transparent with you. So that you may get there and what they said in the interview was night and day, meaning that they are a micromanager and they just misled you. But here's my other question I would ask. What are some challenges that you have in leading your team? Why am I asking that question? Asking that question to see, which is going to be my follow-up question is, so once they identify the challenges, how have you responded to those challenges? So again, family, interviewing properly before you get put in a situation or get caught in a situation that now you're going to have to make another decision if I'm going to leave or stay. So again, interviewing properly. Point number five, initiate a candid conversation about being micromanaged. Listen, during your one-on-ones, this is the perfect opportunity to have a direct conversation so you can uncover why your manager feels the need to micromanage. Understanding this perspective, it really does allow you to address their concerns and hopefully find a common ground. Here's my actionable tip. Schedule a one-on-one and say something like, I've noticed a pattern of close oversight in my task. Can we discuss what I can do to earn more trust and independence? Ooh, that's powerful. Why is that powerful? Because now I'm releasing the power to the manager to say, hey, I really want to earn your trust and your independence. What do I need to do that? And also, I'm sending an indirect message that, hey, I'm getting micromanaged here and it's not really working out for me, but I'm willing to be professional enough to ask this probing question. Can we discuss what I can do to earn more trust and independence? Point number six, understand your manager's style without trying to change it, fam. Message, anytime I say messages, this is something you want to pay attention to. If you're driving, please continue to drive and be safe. But if you have an opportunity to really tap in to this, is understanding your management style without your manager's style without trying to change it. I'm telling you, family, please don't try to change your manager's style. It's not, I promise you, it's not going to work. I've made the mistakes for you. This is why I'm sharing it with you. See, each manager has their own leadership style, and some may not be open to changing it. So instead of fighting with their approach, focus on adapting and finding ways to work within their leadership framework. Here's my actionable tip. Identify managers' triggers and preferred workflows. For example, if they value frequent updates, offer to share daily or weekly reports proactively. Point number seven, protect that mindset. See, micromanagement can be frustrating and demoralizing. Protecting your mindset is crucial to maintaining focus, confidence, and most of all, productivity. See, if you're not focused and you don't have the confidence, you're not even want to be productive because you're like, it doesn't matter what I put out. All they're going to do is correct. It doesn't matter if I put this slide deck to present to executive because all they're going to do is tear it down and say, let's start from scratch. There's nothing wrong with correcting and making sure that I have everything, my I's dotted, T's, and everything is well aligned. But you just scrapping the whole presentation and saying we're starting from scratch and not explaining to me why. So you really want to be a manager. You don't want to be a leader to inspire and to motivate me. I'm sorry. I went on a rant there. Here's my actionable tips. Practice mindfulness or journaling to process frustration or, again, seeking a support group. Regularly remind yourself of your accomplishments and your strength to counteract feelings of inadequacy. A lot of times, family, we have to do reminders checks. What's reminders checks? Meaning we've been through something before. We've experienced something before. But the great thing about it is we came over to the other side. Point number eight, maintain professionalism, even if it's frustrating. I'll be honest with you, family. Point number eight is probably going to be the hardest. Why is it going to be hard? Because reacting emotionally to micromanage can damage your professional reputation. So staying calm and composed protects your image. I know it's easier said than done, as they would say, because there's many times where I'll be honest, I've lashed out because I've been frustrated due to the fact that I'm doing more than what you expected of me, but you still feel like there's a need to be micromanaged. What happened that I wasn't made aware of? So you must maintain that professionalism and do your very best. Here's my actionable tip. Practice controlled responses. If you feel frustrated, take a pause before responding to emails or conversations. I remember one day I received an email that it was one of those emails where you wanted to say, you know what, if I see you outside and you got that same energy, I'm with, okay, I'm sorry, fam. Really what you should do when you get an email like that I was highlighting at a very high level, you want to walk away. And the reason why you want to walk away, because if you respond right now how you feel, you may say something that you can't take back. And you don't know where this other person is coming from first. So one of the strategies that I always do when I get something like that, I may reach out to the person and say, hey, I'm trying to understand where this email is coming from and why. Because it sounded like this wasn't an email to really help us on the project. It was really to hinder us. So I need to get a better understanding of what's going on before I respond to this email, because I will respond, but I wanted to hear you, because sometimes what you read and you interpret could be different than what the person's intentions were. So I want to understand your intentions. Here's my three transformational remarks, family, and I'll let you be on your way. Number one, maintain professionalism. Even if you're frustrated, like I said, family, work on practice control, work on practicing control responses. Identify if there's a, this is a temporary phrase. Like I said, ask directly, say, is this additional oversight a temporary measure due to project importance? And by the way, how can I support you during this time? And the last and final one, if you don't get anything out of today's episode, is decide whether to stay or go, or stay or leave. If you make that decision to leave, then stick with the decision and don't turn back. Because if you turn back, then you're going to go down another cycle that you don't need to go. But if you decide to stay, set a timeline for how long are you willing to stay in that position if you continue to get the treatment that you get, and then make the decision to say, okay, I stayed here a month, or I stayed here 6 months and I'm still getting the same treatment, I think it's probably time that I make the decision to leave. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, because it's really important to me for you to understand. A lot of times in projects, especially for new project managers, you may come up against being micromanaged in the beginning. However, over time, as you develop the confidence with your manager, they should be slowly pulling away, because now they feel like, okay, this person got it, they get it. All right, let me move on. And now I'm more of a support piece. I'm all about in the beginning, especially when a new resource comes on board, of being there for them, joining their meetings, having that open door policy, because they're not going to know how the organization operates. So it's up to me to guide them. But once they get to a point where now they can do self-discovery, now you need to let them be on their own and make the mistakes that they need to make and learn from them, and then be there to help coach and guide them and inspire them, not micromanage them. I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. And if you want to sign up for the Magnetic Project Management School, I advise you to do, because this is going to be something that is going to be amazing. Link will be in the show notes. They will also be in the comment section. I hope you take advantage of it, because this is going to be something epic. And I want to make sure everybody gets an opportunity to really get with a support group of people of like-minded individuals that are looking to either make a transition into project management, deal with existing, they're already a project manager and trying to figure out what their career path is, or just leading projects in general, dealing with stakeholder management. That is my specialty, is stakeholder management, dealing with stakeholders, having to articulate or convince or persuade stakeholders, even when they're frustrated. So those are the type of techniques I'm going to be teaching you. I'm not going to be getting into here, this is how you create, I'll show you how to create a schedule and all, but it's really about the people, as I always continue to say. So I will leave you with that thought. I hope that you take advantage of this opportunity. We will be getting starting up probably the second week of January. I will be doing a formal presentation and announcement, but I'm just putting it out there now because I want people who are hungry, once I put the link out, that they can take advantage of it. Until next time.